Would you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? I don't believe anyone would deny that as a nation we are very polarized. I mentioned at our dessert concerts in the little devotional that I gave that we've just come through a very interesting election cycle where everybody seemed to be scared to death. If you supported Donald Trump, you were scared to death of Hillary Clinton. If you supported Hillary Clinton, you were scared to death of Donald Trump. If you didn't support either one of them, you were scared to death of both of them. It was a scary election for everyone. And now we have a president-elect Donald Trump, and 50% of the people are still scared to death. We are very polarized. You would think that after 6,000 years of human history, we would have things figured out. You would think that after 6,000 years of human history, we would know what works and what doesn't work, and that through our human wisdom, we would have things figured out. We'd know what to do. And yet, it seems like we can't agree on anything. It seems like we haven't gotten really anything figured out. Our government's in a mess. Our politics are in a mess. Our economy's in a mess. Our relationships are in a mess, and we really can't seem to get anything figured out. We're polarized. We can't agree on anything. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 11, we have this distinction between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. And in reality, man's wisdom cannot figure out much at all. We need God's wisdom. The real issues in life, the things that really matter, the things that are of utmost importance, man fails in his wisdom. God's wisdom works. Notice, beginning with verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages unto our glory, which none of the princes or the rulers of this age knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." God has revealed his wisdom to man. We ignore it at our peril. Let's bow in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for this time together, the opportunity to study your word. And again, it's important for us as individuals to open your word and to study it for ourselves. And yet, Father, you have given us the examples in your word of how the body of Christ comes together and studies together and learns together. And I pray that this morning we might humble ourselves before you with ears to hear, so that we might apply your wisdom, your word, to our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In verse 6, we read that God's wisdom is for the mature. It's only known by the mature. Paul begins in verse 6, "We speak wisdom." Up to this point, as Paul has been talking about man's wisdom and God's wisdom, he has made some pretty strong statements concerning the wisdom of man. He says the wisdom of man will be brought to nothing. He says that God's wisdom has made man's wisdom foolish. He says that man's wisdom will be put to shame. He says when it comes to the real issues that matter, the really important things in life, man's wisdom is useless. So he's really been putting down man's wisdom through chapter 1 and even the beginning of chapter 2. And yet, he says, I'm not opposed to wisdom per se. I'm not against wisdom as such. I'm just against man's wisdom. I do speak wisdom. It's just not, in verse 6, the wisdom of this age. It's not man's wisdom. But, verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God. So he begins by saying, I'm not opposed to wisdom. It's just I'm opposed to man's wisdom. I speak God's wisdom. And he says, as I speak this wisdom, he says, I speak it to those that are perfect. Now again, depending on what translation you have, your translation may say, I speak this wisdom to the mature. In essence, what he's saying is, this wisdom that I speak, the wisdom of God, is only understandable by the mature Christian. The unbeliever is not going to understand the wisdom of God. In fact, the immature believer isn't going to understand the wisdom of God. Notice in chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto the fleshly, even as unto babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for to this time you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are fleshly. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not fleshly and walk as men? He says you're immature in your faith. You're immature as a believer, and I can't speak to you the real wisdom of God. It's only understandable to the mature believer. Now what does that mean? What's it mean to be a mature believer? Does that mean you have to be saved for 50 years before you can understand the wisdom of God? Does that mean you have to be saved for decades before you can really understand God's Word? No, a mature believer is simply this. One who has humbled themselves before God and is willing to hear and obey what He has to say. That's a mature believer. You may not have been saved all that long. Maybe you're only a year old in Christ, but you can be a very mature one-year-old. Or you may have been saved five decades ago and still be a baby. It's not about how long you've been saved, it's about whether you have humbled yourself before God and you have ears to hear. Whether you've humbled yourself before God and you're willing to say, God, I want to know your wisdom. And I want to obey it. Far too many times we approach God by saying, God, I want to know your wisdom, and then I'll see if I'll obey it. That's an immature believer who will not hear the wisdom of God. They'll not understand it. If you're confused about some things, perhaps it's because you're listening to the wisdom of man. And you've not humbled yourself before the wisdom of God. A mature believer is simply one who humbles himself before God and is willing to hear what he has to say and obey it. And Paul says, that's the one I speak, the wisdom of God. So he says the wisdom can only be known by the mature, and then he says God's wisdom is not of this age. In verse 6, again, we speak among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age that come to nothing. He emphasizes that this wisdom of God is not of this age, in the sense that God's wisdom is ageless. God's wisdom is eternal. God's wisdom is timeless. Man's wisdom is confined to this age and is constantly changing. It's temporal and changing constantly. Think about man's wisdom. Think about the wisdom of men in the past. You know, the ones that said the earth was flat. Now we know better. But that was at one time the wisdom of man, but it's changed. At one time, wisdom of man said that the earth was the center of the universe and everything else revolved around the earth. We know better now. That's not true. But that was the wisdom of man. Wisdom of man is constantly changing, and it's temporal. You know, medicine at one time, remember they said that, you're not going to remember this. This was many years ago. But there was a time when man's wisdom in medicine said that if you were really sick, you'd just drain some blood out of you. Bloodletting, remember? Yeah, that was man's wisdom. Now we know better. That kills people. Doesn't help. The wisdom of man, constantly changing. It's temporal. But the wisdom of God is not of this age. It transcends time. It transcends the ages. It is timeless and it is eternal. Man's wisdom, expressed in Darwin's theory of evolution. We speak often, or at least the evolutionists speak often, of Darwin's book, The Origin of Species. You do realize that they don't give you the full title of that book? Origin of Species, that sounds like a pretty tame title, but you know what the full title of that book is? On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Darwin was a racist. He believed in a master race. And his theory of evolution fit in perfect with that. And where do you think Hitler got his ideas about a master race? Where do you think he got his ideas to kill all of the Jews? It was man's wisdom. And that's where it led. The founder of Planned Parenthood likewise believed that abortion and even sterilization should be done to the less favored races. That's where man's wisdom leads us. And so he says God's wisdom is not of this age. It's timeless. It transcends this age. Man's wisdom constantly changing. Just a temporal wisdom. And he speaks here of the wisdom of the rulers of this age. And he says that these rulers are coming to nothing, or these rulers are passing away. Again, we think about he's talking about the rulers of this age, the wisdom of the political leaders. He says it's all passing away. It's constantly changing, and the rulers themselves are passing away. Constantly disappearing. As we said earlier, after 6,000 years of human history, you'd think we'd have things figured out. But we don't. Governments constantly changing. We have the monarchies. We have the aristocracies. We have the democracies. We have the republics. We have the dictatorships. We have communism. We have socialism. We have capitalism. We have fascism. And nothing works. And we tweak it a little bit here and we tweak it a little bit there and we go from one extreme to the other and we still fail. It comes to nothing. Now, lest I leave you hopeless, let me just throw this in. There is one system that works. It's a Christocracy. When Christ comes, He'll make it all work. When He rules on His throne, it will work. But until then, man's wisdom will continue to fail. But we have hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. And so he speaks of the wisdom of this age, the wisdom of the rulers of this age that come to nothing. And then we come to verse 7. He speaks of God's wisdom being a mystery. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Notice the word but here. He makes this contrast again between the wisdom of man, the wisdom of this age, and God's wisdom. We don't speak the wisdom of this age. We don't speak man's wisdom, but we do speak God's wisdom. And we speak God's wisdom, he says, in a mystery. What's that mean? Or maybe your translation says it's hidden or it's a secret. Is the idea here that we have to go find God's wisdom because he is hidden at some place and chances are we aren't going to find it because it's a secret? No, that's not what he's saying. He's simply saying this, it's a mystery, it's a secret, it's hidden in the sense that man's wisdom will never discover it. Man left to himself with just his own wisdom will never discover God's wisdom. The only way man can ever know the wisdom of God is if God reveals it to us. It's outside of the ability of man to understand God's wisdom left to himself. God must reveal it to us. So man cannot know God's wisdom apart from God revealing his wisdom to us. And he has revealed it. We'll see that in just a few moments. We aren't going to discover it on our own. God must reveal it to us, and he has done so. But that's what it means when he says it's in a mystery. It's just simply that God must reveal it. Man in his pride thinks he's pretty smart, thinks he's pretty wise, but again, when it comes to the real issues of life, that which really matters, man fails. God's wisdom works. God has revealed his wisdom. We must have ears to hear. We must humble ourselves before God with a willingness to hear and obey. That's the mature Christian who will hear God's wisdom and obey it. God's wisdom is about our salvation. Notice in verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God has ordained before the ages unto our glory. Don't let that word ordained or predetermined, as maybe your translation says, or predestined. The word simply means, the word that's used here, means to decide beforehand or to determine beforehand. That's the word. It's actually a compound word with those two words combined, the word before and the word determine or decide. It simply means to decide beforehand. What he's saying here is God decided before the ages even began how he would bring us to glory. Think about that for a moment. This is the wisdom of God that he's talking about. This wisdom of God at its very heart has to do with our salvation. And he says, God, before the ages even began, determined how he was going to bring us to glory. It's before the ages began, it says. Again, God's wisdom is timeless. It not only predates man's wisdom, it predates the wisdom of this world because it predates the world itself. It predates the ages. Before the ages even began, God determined beforehand how he would bring us to glory. That's talking about our salvation. At the heart of God's wisdom is the plan of salvation which God determined before the ages would be for our glory. The salvation that he speaks of here is everything from the forgiveness of our sins when we trust Christ as our Savior until we're standing in his presence in heaven with our glorified bodies and everything in between. That's what he's talking about. That's the wisdom of God. And he determined before the ages began how that was going to look, how that was going to be accomplished, and what he was going to do. how he was going to bring us to a point of being forgiven of our sins, to where we would stand in his very presence with glorified bodies. God's wisdom figured that out. And the plan of salvation was from the wisdom of God for our glory. It involved how he was going to send his son to die for our sins. It involved the whole Christmas story, as he would send his son as a baby, not to be born in a mansion someplace, but born and laid in a manger. God had that all figured out. And how that son was going to grow and then be crucified on the cross as our substitute to take the penalty for our sin, so that we then could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could have eternal life. God's wisdom. Man's wisdom would never have figured that out. This is the wisdom of God. The plan of salvation involves everything from the death of Christ in the past to the forgiveness of sins in the present to our glorified bodies in the future and all the blessings in between. That's the wisdom of God. Unknown to the wisdom of man. Notice in verse 8, which none of the princes of this age knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Paul states that God's wisdom is not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, and so he gives us an example of how the rulers of this age did not know or understand the wisdom of God. If they had understood the wisdom of God, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Remember when they were nailing Christ to the cross? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." None of the rulers at that time, not Annas, not Caiaphas, not Herod, not Pilate, not a one of them understood what they were doing. Not a one of them understood the significance of his presence in their midst. Not a one of them understood who he was that stood before them. And they crucified the Lord of glory. That was the wisdom of man. That tells us how messed up the wisdom of a man is. The wisdom of man led man as the creature to crucify the Creator. That's the wisdom of man. The wisdom of a man led the sinful one to crucify the holy God. The wisdom of man is messed up. And Paul gives this example of the rulers of this age crucifying the Lord of glory. And then we come to verse 9, a verse that's familiar to many of us. We see that God's wisdom is contrary to man's experience. But as it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Often as we read verse 9, we think of heaven. And I want to just mention to you this morning that verse 9 is not primarily talking about heaven. It's not excluded from verse 9, but it's not primarily talking about heaven. Verse 9 is talking about your salvation. From the time you trust Christ as your Savior until you are standing in the presence of God in heaven. That's what verse 9 is talking about. That whole salvation. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. What he's saying is man's wisdom would never have discovered what salvation is all about. It would never have discovered how that God would send his only begotten Son. It would never have discovered that we'd be saved by grace alone, through faith alone. Man's wisdom would never have discovered the salvation that God has given to you and to me through faith in Christ. It wouldn't have come through the medium of our eyes or our ears just left to ourselves. It wouldn't have come through even our ability in our inner being, our heart, to think or to feel or to make decisions and desires. None of that would have led us to the salvation that God has prepared for us. It's beyond human ability. God's wisdom is beyond the ability for man on his own to comprehend, either through his physical senses or through his inner being of thoughts, desires, or feelings. We can't comprehend it left to ourselves. We would never have discovered it left to ourselves. I would not have seen it. Ears would not have heard it. Our thoughts, our desires, our feelings would never have come up with the salvation that God's prepared for us. God sent his Son to die for us. God dying for man. Man wouldn't have ever thought of that. Saved by grace alone, not by works. Man would never have thought of that. Saved by faith in the one who was crucified. Foolishness, Paul said to the Gentiles, and a stumbling block to the Jews. Man would never have thought of that. Being forgiven of our sins, being given new life, the life of Christ himself in us, the Holy Spirit coming to indwell us and giving us the power that raised Christ from the dead. Man would never have thought of that. Redemption from our slavery to sin. Justification, declared righteous before a holy God. Sanctification as we are set apart more and more unto him. The glorification of our bodies and having new bodies in his presence. The reconciliation to a holy God. The peace, the contentment, the satisfaction, the purpose in life that God gives us through salvation. Man's wisdom wouldn't have come up with that. That's the wisdom of God that he has prepared for us. Man's wisdom would never have thought of the blessings that we have in our salvation. In fact, when you think about man's wisdom, we've said this a few times now, all of the religions of this world, those man-made religions, it's all about works. Every single one of them. That's what man's wisdom concludes. In fact, I put it this way. All that man's wisdom can come up with is do your best and hope for the rest. It's about all we have in man's wisdom. Just do your best and hope you make it. And you ask many people whether they're going to heaven. It's basically, I hope so. That's all man's wisdom can do. In fact, in doing your best, a man has even come up with human sacrifice. You know, throughout the ages, there have been human sacrifices. Man dying for God. That's man's wisdom. God's wisdom is God died for man. That's what God's prepared for us. I wouldn't have seen it. Ears wouldn't have heard it. The heart wouldn't have thought of it and imagined it. But God's wisdom has prepared it for us. Isn't that what Islam teaches? Man must die for their God? strap on a suicide bomb and go into a place where there's lots of people and kill 100 people with your suicide bomb and you get to go to heaven. Man dies for God. That's man's wisdom. Or in some religions, if you aren't good enough, if you don't do enough good works, if your best isn't enough, you're going to be reincarnated into a lesser life form, and that's your punishment. That's man's wisdom. Left to himself, man would never come up with what God has prepared for us who trust Christ as our Savior. The forgiveness of sins and eternal life in His presence. That's God's wisdom. God's wisdom has been revealed. It says, eye hasn't seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. God's wisdom is a mystery in the sense that man can't discover it on his own. And man would never come up with this plan of salvation on his own. Man would never imagine it. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The only way man has come to know the wisdom of God and salvation through His Son is because He has revealed it to us by His Spirit. It's right here. This is God's revelation. It spells it out very clearly how we can be forgiven of our sins through the death of His Son. God dying for man so that we might be forgiven, so that we might have eternal life, and all of the blessings in between that forgiveness and that presence in heaven. The joy that He promises, the peace that He promises, the contentment and purpose in life. Again, the freedom from slavery to sin as we grow in that sanctification. Knowing that we have been declared righteous before God. Knowing that we are now at peace with God. Knowing that we have this redemption where we will never be brought back under the slavery of sin again. That's God's wisdom. And He's revealed it to us. Do we have ears to hear? Have we humbled ourselves before God so that we will hear what He has to say and obey? He's revealed it to us. The Spirit of God knows the deep things of God and has revealed them to us. The deep things, He says in verse 10, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. In other words, the things, again, that man could never discover on his own, the things that really matter in life. Our eternal destiny. The things that really matter. How to have a relationship with others. The things that really matter, God tells us. How we can have a purpose in life. And how we can have contentment and satisfaction. That's what people look for. We sung the song this morning of I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Written during the Civil War. And that's why the author of that hymn said, there is no peace on earth, I said. All he saw was war, brother fighting against brother, and the nation torn apart. There is no peace. Until he opened his ears to the wisdom of God. Man wants peace. Not just in this world, but in his heart. And the wisdom of man will never give us peace. God promises peace. In fact, as the angels appeared to the shepherds on that first Christmas morning, he did indeed say, peace on earth, and our King James translates it wrong, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. No, it's peace on earth and to men of goodwill. Or perhaps you could translate it, peace on earth and to men who are well-pleasing. In other words, those who are pleasing to God, those who have ears to hear, those who have humbled themselves before God and are willing to hear what He has to say and obey Him, God promises peace. That's His wisdom. The wisdom of man says, no, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what I think is going to make me feel better. And it fails. There is no peace. So I asked the question this morning, whose wisdom are you relying on? The wisdom of God or the wisdom of man? If you find there's no peace, if you find there's no contentment or satisfaction in your life, if you're totally confused and your life is in chaos, is it perhaps because you're listening to the wisdom of man? And you haven't humbled yourself before the wisdom of God to hear and obey? The wisdom of men will fail you. God's told us that. He's revealed it to us. The wisdom of man will fail us. But the wisdom of God has prepared great things for us. Not just heaven, but even great things for now. Peace on earth and to men of goodwill. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much this morning that you have revealed your wisdom to us. Father, I pray that every one of us here this morning would humble ourselves before that wisdom. Give us ears to hear. Help us to want to hear and obey. Help us not to be deceived by the wisdom of man that looks good and sounds good, but constantly fails. It's only temporal. It changes constantly. May we understand the timelessness of your wisdom and obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. Love to be an encouragement to you in any way that we can. If you're unsure of something I've said this morning or it doesn't make sense to you, please seek us out. We'd love to help you. We want you to have the peace that God promises to you. Shall we stand? Father, again, we come to you in humility, recognizing your love for us and sending your Son. And I pray that we would continue to grow in our love for you, in our understanding of your wisdom and all that you have prepared for us. We thank you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. May God bless you.